When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Purple Insider. Matthew Collar here, and look who's back from defective. Drew McGarry, a well-timed sneeze to start the show. I'm just gonna leave that in there. Drew, what is going on, man? It is draft week. How are you feeling?
We made it. I have to wait another like 3 days, another three horrible, painful days. But at least that's better than waiting the 6 weeks, the months, the years I've waited for this. Like I was saying, by the way, I didn't realize this was a family friendly podcast last time. And I was very much myself. So I'm going to be like 5% less myself and not drop as many F-bombs. Anyway, I popped a gummy on 420 and I told the people on Blue Sky that this was the biggest Vikings draft of my lifetime. And it's true. It's not an exaggeration. It's correct. They've never picked a quarterback in the top 10. And I think you and I are both assuming that they're going to do it, even though they're sitting at 11 right now. And, you know, it's weird because there are so many other fan bases where, like, if you're a Cleveland Browns fan or you're a New York Jets fan or you're a Bears fan, picking in the top five is old hat to you. That's every year. Like, it's just whatever. It never happens with us. Like, it ever. So it's like, it's this odd place to be in where, you know, because the Vikings are a historically good franchise, and, you know, I don't need to go through the whole thing where it's the best record historically without a Super Bowl, blah, 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 blah. But for them to be in this position, now it feels very, very definitive, and I feel confident, which I never ever feel, but I finally feel confident, which is cool.
From my perspective, it's a little different because I moved here in 2016 to cover the team. So
right, you're not a fan, so not, you're a reporter. Right.
Not the lifetime sort of fan. Now, of course, I love NFL history and I understand the whole thing, but it's more of this. Since I got here, when Teddy Bridgewater got hurt, there's just right. been a lot of different attempts to solve this problem in different ways. There was, you know, Sam Bradford, and then there's bringing in Case Keenum as the backup, ends up taking the NFC Championship. But it's not just Kirk. It's that, you know, trying to draft Kellen Mond. And there's always been a discussion of kind of who's going to be the quarterback. Who's going to be the quarterback? Is it going to be Kirk? Is it going to be Kirk? There must have been four off seasons where we talked about, are they going to sign him to an extension or what's going to happen here out of the 6 years that they were, that he was here. And right. so now it feels like you're getting a definitive answer. That's part of it is one is somebody that could potentially be here for a long time. And the other part of it is that along the way of Kwesi Adofo-Mensah in charge, we had to ask kind of a lot of questions. Is he prepared for this job? Does he actually have a plan early on? Where's the rebuild part of the competitive rebuild? And then we started to see it, and it's all coming together. And so I guess the way I look at it as this might be their answer, where we are not asking every offseason, who's your quarterback? And we can focus on the guard position, which is what you and I really want to do, right?
Right. Because even when they drafted quarterbacks in the first round, and like, I guess Dante would be kind of the most definitive stud that they did. But then when they drafted Ponder, and even when they drafted Teddy, like you've said on other podcasts, and I've heard your voice a lot the past 2 weeks, you know, it felt like settling. It was like, okay, you know, maybe this is the guy, but like, it wasn't like when you're drafting a dude in the top five and it's like, this guy's going to be a stud. We need this guy to be a stud. This guy needs to be a Hall of Famer. Like, we never really had those ambitions in my lifetime. Dante was kind of the closest, and we've litigated Dante's issues. But you know, this is the first time I said, I'm confident because it's the first time in a long time, as you said, with Kwesi, I feel like there's a definitive vision, and this is the offseason where they've done all of the things that I've wanted them to do, which like their interests and mine don't ever really dovetail all that closely. So for them to actually do this, I mean, you had guys like Pat Royce, who like hates the Vikings, like lives to sneer, like I told you so, whenever they blow it, like those kinds of guys, like even he wrote like, yeah, they're doing it right. And so that's why I'm so confident going into Thursday night. Like, and I'm going to tell you why we're getting May. And I'm not even going to, like, this isn't speculation. This is like definitive. Like, I know it. I've read as much garbage smoke screens as you've read. And I know that teams put those out more as like PR than to like leverage another team or leverage another, leverage a player's agent or anything like that. Like all that stuff is out there to get fans primed one way for another for anything that could happen, right? But in this case, you're the one who posted the viral video of Kevin O'Connell at church, right? And what did Kevin O'Connell say in that? Well, he was talking about a quarterback who, you know, if he's got lower body issues, and I don't mean like he needs to see a urologist. I mean like he, you know, his footwork's off, that's correctable. But you can't fix a good arm. You can't fix instincts, stuff like that. And he's talking about Drake May, right? And he says, oh, well, I may or may not have sent Robert Kraft flowers. Okay, sent him, right? If he was like, oh, I may or may not send Bob Kraft flowers, like, in other words, like, oh, I might in the future try to court him to get up to number three by giving him this gift, when really he probably just wanted like another Orchids of Asia, like gift card or something like that. But anyway, but he said he already did it, which means that they've already had some sort of mild agreement in place. And maybe the Broncos could queer it by throwing in Patrick Surtain and any other decent player that they have on the roster in order to get up. But I really don't think that's what's going to happen. I think what's going to happen is that the second Daniels goes to Washington at 2, it'll be on Twitter before it goes on TV, but the trade will happen. And it's going to be a matter of how much they have to give up. And honestly, so long as it's not Addison, Darisaw, or Justin, I don't care. Give them all the draft picks they want. I don't give a crap. Let's go. Let's get it done.
You know, putting together the tea leaves is part of the entertainment value leading up to the draft in general, but especially
right. What else are we going to do? There's nothing else to do. Right.
Yeah, and all the people who want to move the draft up 2 weeks. Normally, I haven't cared because I've gone to South Beach or something, but this year I cared. This is dragged out quite a bit. But
well, and you know, Kyle Shanahan has complained openly that he would much prefer the draft happen right after the season and then free agency, which is like, I don't disagree with it. The NFL will never do it for all sorts of annoying NFL reasons, but I absolutely see the reasoning behind that one.
Well, and they've dragged us to here, but then they'll roll out the schedule and then they'll have some mini camps. And then each week, everybody will be, you know, there's only about 6 weeks where there's nothing going on. Right. But I will say that putting together the tea leaves has been really fun this year to try to figure out all the different scenarios to make this happen. And yes, the video of Kevin O'Connell in the church made it feel like he was talking so confidently about this situation that you felt like he must already know, right? He doesn't seem very nervous going into the draft, which everybody should be very nervous. But Washington is a wild card here, though, because I agree with you. I think if they get to 3, then the big red button gets pushed, trade all the draft picks to New England for Drake May. But Washington is still weird. We kind of thought that once Daniel Snyder was gone, that Washington would maybe be less weird, but they're still weird.
And yeah, they have a lot of Snyder affects left. Like when Ben Johnson turned them down and they leaked out, whoa, that was so rude. How could he not want to come to such a hallowed, proud heritage franchise like us? And they got all mad. And they kind of did the same thing a little bit with Daniels. Like when they leaked to Schefter or whatever, that like Daniel's agent wasn't pleased that like other people showed up to their dinner. Like if I dated a girl and she brought like her friend with her, like then I knew I didn't have a chance. Like you get irritated, but like, and then like the next day, Schefter was like, oh no, they're cool now. They're all right. He's going there, but they could do something stupid or weird. If they drafted McCarthy, or if the Patriots drafted McCarthy 3, I would die with laughter. And then, of course, he'd go on to be a Hall of Famer. But in the in that immediate moment, I would have quite a bit of a laugh. That would be a good time.
Because we go back to the beginning of draft season, and Drake May is the presumptive number two. I mean, even through the college season, but Jaden Daniels has this incredible year, wins the Heisman, so forth, and elevates himself. And some of the tea leaves, I guess you could say, have pointed to Jaden Daniels, including that they got a running quarterback as their backup. They got a guy who has worked with a running quarterback as their offensive coordinator. And they sent Sam Howell packing, who's supposed to be very good friends with Drake May. I don't know if there's any reason that they wouldn't want them together, but they could get a quarterback who fits as a backup better for Jaden Daniels. And then Adam Schefter himself has said that everybody around the league thinks that Washington's taking Daniels. Everybody around the league thought that Will Levis was going to be a first pick, and the uncertainty creeps in a little bit. But I do think that they've created a bunch of scenarios where if this happens, then this is how we're getting the quarterback. And the first one is Daniels and getting Drake May. My question for you, how much more have you fallen in love with Drake May than any other option for this draft? Because it is realistic that it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I've completely become a May or bust person, which is funny because, like, at the beginning of this, because I had not watched any of May. And so all I had heard sort of throughout the college football season was, oh, the two top quarterbacks are Caleb Williams and Drake May. And I was like, who's this lacrosse-ass name guy from North Carolina? And, you know, Trubisky and Howell and all, you know, you think of every quarterback who's washed out from there. And then I was like, okay, well, I'll watch the games and I'll see. And you know what's funny is, like, we, you know, both of us are analytically inclined now, and so, you know, you know that your eyes can lie when you watch the tape, right? So you have to make sure, you have to look at the stats, you have to look at you know, the offenses they're playing in, how they fit with the team that you're in, the offense that you're running, and guys like Kurt Warner and JT O'Sullivan, who I love watching their YouTube breakdowns, but they're breaking down, and JT O'Sullivan said this, he's breaking down those players as they are. He is evaluating them essentially as finished products. He's not saying they're finished products. He knows. But you know, he doesn't take into account fit, coaching staffs, all that stuff, because it's too many variables. His only job is just evaluate the tape that he sees. So when I consider what he has to say and when I consider the metrics and all that stuff, what's funny is you come back around to the eye test is sort of the final arbiter, right? Or it's like, okay, I know everything there is to know, so let's actually watch these games and see what's going on. And when I watch May, like, all I see is talent, and that's all I want, right? Talent's the only thing that matters. So and the other thing is that I see a player who, if he gets drafted by the Patriots, will fail because they have nothing. They have nobody. Like a guy like Jaden Daniels. Okay, Jaden Daniels is a one-man offense. Like you can prosper because if you don't have an offensive line, he can run away. And if you don't have a running game, he can run the ball. And if you don't have a wide receiver as well, he can still throw the ball to his running back or something stupid. I don't know, whatever. Who cares? But the point is that Jaden Daniels is made for a team that is in disarray, essentially. And that's the Commanders and that's the Patriots right now. May works with us perfectly. And one more tea leaf to read is that the Josh McCown hiring, that was for May. Like, they already knew May was coming when they hired that guy. Because I heard on your podcast that, like, that hiring was sudden, right? Like, they weren't like, boy, we really got, like, they didn't do the whole, like, oh, we have to court an offensive coordinator and or a QB coach, and here's who we interviewed, and we're gonna tweet a graphic of we interviewed Bill O'Brien to be our QB coach, and interview completed, and like they'll have a graphic that says like interview completed, like during hiring season, right? They didn't do any of that. They were just like, oh yeah, we were at the combine and Josh McCown was there, and we thought, hey, bring him on. He seems all right. And that's for May because he knows May. It's all there.
I don't know if they do those graphics for quarterback coaches. Normally, a quarterback coach is not the hugest hire. We go, oh, okay, that guy's the QB coach. Right. This one is different because of the connection, but also because of what it says.
He's not like the son of somebody. Like, usually it's like some guy's grandkid, and you're like, okay, whatever. Nate Walsh, great.
Yeah, that does happen a lot. But with Josh McCown, Kevin O'Connell is looking for is a right-hand man. That his other people on the staff are not former quarterbacks. And he wants somebody who is going to see the same things that he sees, understands the techniques that he understands, the footwork, the mechanics, the reading defenses, whatever, to where McCown can get inside the head of the quarterback. But yes, of all the former quarterbacks, of all the people who want to be quarterback coaches who could have been that guy, the fact that it's someone who coached Drake May does not seem entirely coincidental. And the other thing too, as we're playing Sherlock Holmes here, is that Kwesi Adofo-Mensah has said on numerous occasions that they've had their eye on the draft class for several years. And who would we have known about for several years? Did we know that Michael Penix was going to get this discussion? Not really. Maybe Bo Nix? Not really, right? Like, who's been in the limelight? There's only two guys who have been in the limelight for this long in this draft class, and that is Caleb Williams and Drake May. And right. So there's even been some references to, yeah, we went back to 2022 tape to see how the situation was different. Like, oh yeah, whose situation was different? Drake May. Yeah, I don't think it's a huge secret that they want him. But if they don't get him, I know that will be somewhat disappointing to you. But I also think that all the options are better than the previous options that they've had to draft a quarterback with Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah outside of some miracle trade to get CJ Stroud or something, which they were never going to be able to pull off. But I think every one of these guys is a better option than Will Levis would have been for this team, or than Kenny Pickett would have been for this team.
Yes.
And if it does end up being JJ McCarthy, I have skepticism about that, but I also think you can't set up somebody better to succeed who understands football extremely well, is a grinder, has a good arm, good athleticism. I mean, I've come around more on the idea that if they do end up with McCarthy, that it's okay. I still wonder about the smoke and mirror nature of the McCarthy thing, even because I got an email today from someone about consensus boards and how there's nobody who's been drafted super, super high who on outside big boards was looked at as more of a late round pick. I think the only guy might be Daniel Jones, who right. was looked at as like a late first and was actually taken all the way up at the top. So it's interesting with McCarthy, not just to figure out, would he be a guy that the Vikings would trade up for, but is he going to be even where everyone thinks he's going to be on draft night?
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, I think it's all a lie. Like, I think that he will go later in the first round. And I think that's fine. He could be perfectly good. But I know that you've been saying on the podcast, look, so long as they draft one of the big six in the first round, I'll give them an A+. I don't feel similarly because, you know, frankly, I've been set up to expect one outcome. And frankly, I know that's the outcome. Like, I know it's going to happen. And you know, I think normally this sort of thing where, you know, the response would be like, LOL, Vikings fan setting himself up to get owned again, whatever. But like, not this time. Like, these guys know what they're doing. They're confident. And I think that they don't want McCarthy. Like, I think maybe Penix, they like his you know, his ability to throw downfield, or Nix, I guess. Although Nix, again, I told you this, he's got Colt McCoy's career all over the tape to me. Like, so, okay, he can do what he's told. Great. We just had that guy. Like, I need the guy who can, like, what you want is a guy who he comes in. Yes, he can do what he's told and he can grasp the offense and he can, you know, make all the reads and all that stuff. But eventually the offense at some point belongs to him. So the Chiefs offense belongs to Patrick Mahomes. The Bills offense belongs to Josh Allen. And it's funny, we're talking about Josh Allen because he hasn't even won an AFC title, but like, he is sort of like the test case here, right? You need that guy who grows into not just the face of the franchise, but essentially its circulatory system. Like, the guy who makes everything go. And I think May has that ability. I think actually McCarthy maybe could be that sort of guy. I don't know if he has the talent to do it, but Bo Nix is going to be the guy where it's like, oh, so long as we have a really good line and two really good receivers and a good running game. And I just had 6 years of that. I can't do that again. I need a guy who is going to make the team a 12-win team, even when the rest of the roster is crap. And that's what Drake May, I think, will be. And that's who I think we're going to draft.
And the tie-in, I guess, to Vikings history, which is kind of where we started this, is how often has that really been the case?
Never!
Right, yeah. I mean, Dante would be the one where you can make something special happen when it's not there. I mean, because you could throw the ball 70 yards in the air and run over linebackers at the same time. And for his shortcomings, I think Dante Culpepper was one of the most entertaining quarterbacks to watch ever. And he had the cheat code of his size, his speed, his athleticism. But aside from that, though, which quarterbacks? I mean, Jeff George for a half a season has an incredible arm. Yeah, I don't know. Right, other than that,
it's other people's quarterbacks, though, isn't it? Right. Like, and Dante was really interesting because I remember it was after the 98 season, right? It was after the title game loss to Atlanta. And they still had Randall on the roster. They would bench him the following year, but it was like a quarterback. It wasn't as cut and dry as it is now, is I think what I'm saying. Like, now is like they need a quarterback, then they don't just need a quarterback, they need the quarterback. Whereas Dante was like, look, we just went 15-1. We can afford to use a high pick on a guy who everyone says is a project because he went to Central Florida, right? Like he didn't play in the big time. So we can sort of see if we can develop this guy and see what happens. And he turned out to be this really entertaining player, but like was not perfect because he would hold on to the ball too long, so long, and he fumbled the ball a lot. And Drake May, I've seen Drake May fumble a few times, and that concerns me. But again, it was not a, we need a savior, let's go get the savior. And now who I want for savior. Because the other thing is that, you know, if I have all this time, Matthew, to stew on it, and it's all I've thought about. Like, it's all I've thought. This week has been the only thing I've given a crap about. Like, my wife, my kids, whatever, they're fine. Like, the draft is what I care about. And I've tried explaining it to my family, and they don't watch the NFL. They don't understand the NFL. So when you tell them, I've been thinking about the NFL draft and then getting a quarterback, when I try to explain it to them, it sounds like I sound like a Star Wars fan who like is really pissed at like Bib Fortuna isn't in episode 7 of the Book of Boba Fett or some BS like that. Like I sound like an idiot. Like I'm obsessing over the dumbest thing in the world, but it's not. It's very, very, very important.
Well, yeah, I can totally understand that. Although, why talk to anyone who doesn't like sports? I don't know why you would create a family yourself that did not have that for you.
I know. I had to go and be a complete person. It's terrible. It's awful. I don't like it any more than you. But like, anyway, the point is, we've had nothing to talk about, right? All this time. So what more should I do than actually rank these quarterbacks in my head in terms of preference, right? Like, I can't help, like I said at the beginning when they got rid of Kirk, I was like, we're free. Draft Babe Laufenberg III. I don't care. Like, we're getting a new quarterback and that's cool, but I've had time to process. And of course, I'm no writer than anybody else, you know, when it comes to this stuff. We're both morons, right? But I know who I want, and I fully intend on getting him.
Well, and that's where I can't get to the same place as you, where I do watch Drake May, and I just think Kevin O'Connell would love this.
Yep.
I mean, because going back to the point about the tape and JT O'Sullivan, I got a lot of messages from people because everyone knows I'm a big fan of QB school and JT O'Sullivan. Like, hey, you know, he's not as high on Drake May. And I think there's a big difference between high on Drake May as a Kevin O'Connell looking into your crystal ball and saying, what can this guy be in several years of me working with him, versus JT O'Sullivan grading the tape from last season. The tape from last season is very messy, but he has no help from the backfield for screen passes, short throws. He has half a season of one pretty good receiver who I think is going to get taken in the fourth or fifth round. And that is really it. doesn't have a particularly great offense. And those are things that I think were the cause, and definitely doesn't have a good offensive line, the cause of a lot of the messy tape. But at the same time, when this guy throws a ball more than 10 yards over the middle of the field, he's completing something like 60% of his passes with a 95 PFF grade. And you can see the anticipation. You can see when receivers come out of their breaks, he's starting to let the ball go and then putting so much touch and juice behind the ball. I mean, it's just, it looks like it should look when the guy is really freaking good. I mean, it's NFL throw. So I get it. Like, I am wowed by his talent and think he would be the perfect fit. But I also know that since I've gone through this 100 times back through history, how hard it is to figure this out. Yes. And even when you look at, so I'll use Dak Prescott as an example. I know he's a 4th round pick, but somebody who you look at him on paper and go, I don't really see the particular skill that makes this guy a great quarterback. And yet, you know, he gets dogged on a lot for the playoffs, but the guy's leading number one, number two offenses. If that's the worst thing that's happening to you, then okay with this next quarterback. So I look at someone like Bo Nix or JJ McCarthy and go, all right, so there isn't anything here that actually wows me, but is that what makes you a success for an NFL quarterback? Not always. Certainly sometimes having the cheat code, but not always. And my bar is a little different than yours because you want the guy who becomes the Josh Allen, the Patrick Mahomes, and everybody wants that. But I also look at, if you were to make this draft pick and Bo Nix becomes Dak Prescott and has one or two chances in his rookie contract to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender, then they've succeeded on the pick and that the whole plan worked if they got that chance. So that's a little bit different. And I think that because of you being a lifelong Vikings fan, that you're desperate for this, where yes. I'm setting the bar in a little different of a place.
Right. Cause you're a journalist. Like you have to be a bit more, you have to be sane about it. I'm under no such obligation. I can be a complete idiot, but I think you're right. But you know, again, going back to the eye test, because I played the sport and, you know, I watched the sport for 30, 40 years or whatever. And you know, it's weird to say, you know, oh, because I played high school football or, you know, Division III college football, that I know the ins and outs of NFL football. I obviously don't, because I wasn't that good of a football player. But I do feel like if you've watched the game as long as you and I have, that when you watch it, you know, sort of on instinct, you sense what looks like proper NFL football and what doesn't. So when a guy can, you know, when a guy is essentially in the grasp and can still flip out the ball for an 8-yard gain on third down, or when a guy can fit it into an obscenely tight window where it looks like the ball goes through the fucking defender, as opposed to, like, you know, laying out, you know, giving him an interception. Like, those are the things that stand out to me on tape when I watch it. And so that's the thing I'm looking for. I'm not looking for it. It's just like, if I see it, my brain instantly registers it. Like, oh yeah, I see that. Like, you know, it's like what JT says, it's a Sunday throw. That's a Sunday play. And you see a guy who makes Sunday plays, and, you know, Caleb Williams is that, you know, to his core. I fully believe he had a rotten season last season because he was sick of being in college football. He's like, I'm sick of this crap team with a crap line, and Jordan Addison's not here anymore for me to throw to. This sucks. And so he's like, well, I'll just wait to go to a proper NFL team so I can do it. And he'll be great next year. I really believe that. But you know, with guys who, like McCarthy and Nix, where if your brain doesn't register that when you're watching it, you know, and you can always be wrong. Mind plays tricks on you. Like I said, I know as much as you do, but it doesn't get your anticipation up as a fan the way, you know, the way it does with guys like Penix, who, you know, you watch the Texas game, you saw what he did, you saw the throws he made, and it's like, and he's also wearing purple. So it's like, yeah, I can see him. I can see him throwing the ball to Justin.
You know what it sounds like you want to do? It sounds like you want to tell me your rankings of these quarterbacks
and the
situation. That's what it sounds like. That's
I get to rank them.
This is a, so why don't you rank them? Why don't you rank? And if you want to throw in, hey, you know, this guy at 11 is my favorite idea, or this guy trading up, or if you want to go ideas or just quarterbacks, rank whatever you want.
Oh, I ranked him. Okay, so I ranked him, but I'm not confident in it. I think a lot of the – so, okay, so I'll just give you the rankings real quick, and then I'll explain it. Okay, one is Caleb, right? Two is May. Three is Daniels. Four is Penix. Five is McCarthy. Six is Nix. And, like, the Penix one I'm not as confident in because people who know better than I are the ones who have him down in the second round, right? And I was, like – I was someone who, like – if they had drafted Hendon Hooker in the first round last year, like I probably would have been happy because I saw him play at Tennessee. I was like, oh, yeah, I like him. Or like Joe Milton, I saw a Tennessee game like this regular season. I was like, oh, that guy looks the part, you know. And but he's going to go like in the fifth round or something like that. So, you know, I don't trust the rankings. I only trust myself when it comes to Caleb and May. And like with Daniels, like if they somehow got Daniels, I don't think they can, but I would be excited because he'd be so much fun to watch, right? But I have the same worries you have about if he has a sack addiction the way that Justin Fields has. Like I of course I worry about that. But I think that, you know, if it were May or Williams, I think those are the two guys where I would feel the best, even though my feelings could be wrong. And then also I would not be against taking an undrafted flyer on, like, if Jordan Travis fell out of the draft, I'd be fine with that. I wouldn't want to take a guy in the fourth round a la Kirk or anything like that. And I think PFF had them trading up and getting both May and Penix, which is insane. That's a fun thought exercise. That's never going to happen. So I have my rankings. I'm only confident about the top two of them. And I know my confidence means very, very little. But like you said, like this is as good a situation as any rookie quarterback is going to find themselves in this year or really any other year. How many rookies get to throw to that pair of wideouts and have Darisaw protecting them, provided we don't have to trade any of those guys to get what we want?
The only team that I could find that created an equal situation for what the Vikings are going to give, and maybe it even wasn't equal because of the offensive line, was year two of Joe Burrow. That Cincinnati so quickly got Ja'Marr Chase and then gave T. Higgins as well and Tyler Boyd, but they still didn't have Adarisaw and O'Neal, and right. You saw, you know, Burrow take off. So just on your rankings, I think I see it pretty similarly to the way that you're looking at it. I have an issue with Michael Penix as well, where I think that I like him a lot more than I'm supposed to like him and might even be willing to put him at QB3. And just say, I don't know, if I'm a dope, then okay, whatever. But I just enjoyed watching him throughout the season because I felt like there was a, and this goes back to we're both old, but Drew Brees at Purdue, where he just had to throw the ball every play. Like that was their offense.
Yeah,
it was
the
just,
Joe Tiller offense. Yeah, he threw 70 times a game.
Yes, awesome. it was just shotgun, football, football, football. And that's how it looked for Michael Penix. And I think that it matters that A, he's got a cannon. Like he has a cheat code. Now his cheat code isn't run around and scrambling, but also, you know, there are quarterbacks in the league who ran for 100 yards last year who are great quarterbacks. And Dak Prescott is one of them. Joe Burrow is one of them that are not necessarily scramblers. Now playmaking is necessary and he didn't show that. And that's concerning, but he has an arm to throw the ball in places that other people can't throw it. And that is sort of Jared Goffian or Drew Bledsoe-ish, where, yeah, you're not talking about scrambling and making plays, but as long as you get rid of the football and don't get sacked, and then the window flashes and you can let that thing rip. And I also do not understand at all throwing mechanics, and I do not even try to, because I've seen so many quarterbacks who have throwing mechanics that people don't like and then turn out to be great quarterbacks, including the two best quarterbacks in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. So I go, I don't know, like as long as the ball gets there, I don't care. And you could probably clean up some of the footwork to sharpen up accuracy on the shorter stuff. So if he was a Viking, it's so easy for me to see it. I could just picture him standing back there. Here comes the double move from Justin Jefferson, and he just guides that thing in there with touchdown the field the same way that he did for Roma Dunze. And the rest of the world is saying, like, okay, guy, like, relax on your Michael Penix love or whatever. But I could see that being a quarterback that they like maybe more than others.
I think the other thing is about the rankings that I have. It's always I think it's also based on what I'm willing to give up, right? So Williams and May, fine, give everything, right? Save for the third rail of Justin and Jordan and Christian. But then, you know, it's like, okay, if they took McCarthy, but they got him at 11 and didn't have to do anything, I'd be fine with that, right? Or even if they had to trade up, but they just had to trade up 23, right? Like, okay, 11 and 20, okay, fine. Like, if you didn't give up four first-round picks for the dude, I can deal with that. Then I can talk myself into that. And I'll talk myself into whatever they do after Thursday, right? But that affects it. So it's like, you know, how much they give up affects my enthusiasm for whatever they do. And also, like, and this is the pathetic part, how much people are going to laugh at the Vikings for whoever they draft. It's like if they trade up the farm for May and they get four first round picks, and I think they're going to get four first round picks in New England, and then they'll get May and then maybe like a day two pick this year or something like that. Like, I think that's what the deal is going to be. If there are people on Twitter who are like, oh, well, Vikes did it again, I'm going to know those people are stupid, right? But if they trade three firsts to get McCarthy, and everyone's like, ha ha ha, you just got rid of Kirk to get the next Kirk. Ha ha ha. I'll be like, oh, they might be right. Oh God, so shitty. Everything's affected by my self-esteem. So.
Yeah, it really shows. Because I'm preparing myself for all scenarios of responding to the fans who are down on whatever move that they're going to make, which, I mean, if they end up with Bo Nix, then it's going to be harder to fight that battle, because I still will think, all right, well, if Kevin O'Connell wanted him, then here we go. But when your consensus boards have somebody at 38th or whatever, if you took them at number 11, then it is going to feel like, okay, did you do the same thing where you kind of reached on a mediocre prospect because you absolutely had to? And yet, when you look at the guy's stat line, he throws 45 touchdowns and three picks and, you know, like, is one of the best passers in college football. And it's like, okay, well, you know, that's the worst. If that's the worst possible outcome, then I still feel like they got a prospect who was worth going through all of this to be able to get there.
Well, I do like the time to throw for Nix, right? Like, I just spent 6 years screaming at Kirk, get rid of it. Like, that is literally the thing I screamed most of the television. Right? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Like, I've said that so many times that my voice box doesn't even work anymore. So the idea that I wouldn't have a quarterback that I have to scream that at, that's very nice. I like that. I like that quite a bit. But also, the other thing I fear, and I'm sorry that I'm going back, but it's actually not the other fans that irritate me. It's other Vikings fans. So like the Royces and like Florio and like people who are Vikings fans but don't seem to like the Vikings at all. Like I got, like, you know, Don Van Natta at ESPN, the great investigative reporter. He's a Vikings fan. He's a big Vikings fan. And I wrote something about Nike last week, and he DM'd me on Twitter. He was like, hey, I liked your Nike thing. And I was like, hey, we're 6 days away, because the draft was 6 days away. And he's like, from what? More heartbreak? And I was like, get out of here, that loser shit. This is why I mute you half the year, Van Natta. And he never DM'd me back after that. I think I made him mad. But like, I can't deal with the old guard people who like are just sitting there waiting for them to screw up. Like, it's like, why are you even here? Like, get out of here. Like they think it's some weakness if you believe and then you have your hopes shot down. But that's not true at all. The belief is the fun part, even when you do get shot down. And particularly now, when everything is in line, everything's in order, they have the pieces, they have the coolest player in the world, like legitimately, like nobody even if I said that to anybody, that, hey, Justin Jefferson's the coolest player in football, he might be the coolest athlete on the whole planet, right? I'm not going to get a lot of pushback on that. He rocks. So, like, I'm very, very excited for this coming season to see, you know, essentially a new team, because this is something that, you know, it only started when Kevin got hired. It didn't start entirely, right? It's not like it was Kwesi and Kevin having to work with yesterday's leftovers. That's gone. They're going to get their new stuff. So it's like, this is, you know, essentially marks the beginning of a new epoch in Vikings football, and anything can happen. Cause I've seen it happen with the Patriots. I've seen it happen with the Lions to an extent. I've seen it happen with the Chiefs, who had never drafted a quarterback in the first round until they drafted Patrick Mahomes, and look where they are now. So the idea that nothing good can happen to this team, it's total bullshit. And, you know, it sucks that I've had to wait, but I'm more than happy to, and I'm ready for Thursday. I'm ready to kick ass.
Yeah, and when we talk about the big picture here and what it all means, this truly is the beginning of, it's their franchise now. Now, how long that lasts, I guess we'll see. But
the other thing is that, you know, this was the offseason where I was a little worried. And it was going back to when Kwesi had to extend Kirk the first time. I was like, well, did Kwesi want that? Like, does Kwesi have any juice in the building? You know, do the owners want this? Like, do I have an owner problem where the owners, they were absentee during Spielman Zimmer, and they're overcorrecting by going the Snyder route and micromanaging everything? And this offseason has proven that that's actually not true. And in fact, one of the rumors, which I chose to believe because why not, was that Mark Wilf, who seems to be taking more of a lead than Ziggy these days, is quite taken with the idea of a rookie QB contract. So the idea that they would, you know, sell out to get someone like May, like, appeals to him. So that, again, it's everyone falling in line with what I'm thinking. And even when Kwesi said, you know, it seemed like Kwesi said at his press conference, oh, we love multiple QBs at certain price levels. When he added that qualifier, that meant we love one quarterback, right? And as far as I'm concerned, the church video sort of cemented that. So it sounds like, I sound like I'm the Charlie Day, like, Beautiful Mind meme and all that with all the shit on my wall in the background, but I'm not. Like, this is all reasonable stuff to assume.
We're going to remember forever the church video if they draft Drake May. The day that we do. And something like that.
Shout out to the guy who asked the question at church. That was like, he was a little nervous to do it, but he got it out. And then he got just such a kick-ass answer out of Kevin. It was delightful. I loved it.
And he powered through that. It seemed like the other parishioners were kind of like, are we seriously asking this question? And
he just was a little sniggering. There was
I don't care. Yep. It was kind of almost like Larry David-ish, where he would just say, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care if all these people are feeling uncomfortable. But
I respected it.
I respected that. And also, just that's, in my experience now being around Kevin O'Connell, like, that's who he is, man. I mean, the respectfulness, of course, and not being snarky or not condescending, but also, if any person asks him about quarterback play, he will talk to you to the ends of the earth about quarterback play. It is his entire passion. And I do want him to mix in a handoff from time to time this year, but I don't think he cares about anything except for quarterback.
Other thing is that you know, I think the reason I respected that parishioner so much is because I was in a room with Kevin O'Connell when he was doing the post-game presser after the Giants lost, the playoff loss. And I sat there and I was legitimately starstruck, which sounds weird because I've interviewed, like, some very famous people, and it's your job as a journalist is not to get starstruck, right? You know this as well as me. But, like, when I was in the Vikings locker room, I could barely muster any questions to Thielen and Harrison Smith and all those guys. And then I'm in the press room and people are asking questions. And I haven't done this before. And Kevin's there. And all I want to ask is, are you going to fire Ed Donatell? Like, that's all I really wanted to ask. And that's all I should have asked. And I never had the stones to ask it. And I was a journalist. I was a credentialed journalist. Meanwhile, a church guy gets up there and not only asks the question, but like the question took him like 5 minutes to ask. So he was doing the journalism that I couldn't. So I was very, very, very impressed by that.
Yeah, there is an intimidating factor, especially when you know that they live stream the press conferences. So you have to get it out. My broadcast history, I think, helps me a little bit with asking questions. But sometimes, you know, somebody fumbles or whatever, and then awful announcing just posts it immediately. And you don't want to be that guy. So anyway, let's get a final thought from you. That this is an amazing time where it feels like they're standing on the precipice of something that we have not seen from this organization in a long time. And I did want to mention one thing, because you talked about the people who, no matter what they do, they say, oh, they're going to fail because they're the Vikings and such. And I came here from covering Buffalo sports very comfortable with that.
Right.
I get it. I feel you. And also just the Vikings being a historic franchise. I knew all about all the things when I even got here. So I was ready for that. But Buffalo is instructive in the way that everything went wrong for them from Jim Kelly all the way until Josh Allen, but then Josh Allen, and everything went wrong before them, before Jim Kelly. I mean, everything.
Right.
They never won. They were a struggling franchise, and right.
Their best player was a murderer. Like, you know,
didn't want to say it, but that's very true.
That's why I'm here.
And yep. And then they get the guy and everything is different. And my dad loves to tell the story about watching Jim Kelly play for the first time, the first game he played. And I think he was great in his first game, and just everybody knowing. And then my dad arguing for 2 years about Josh Allen. Well, the whole world questioned him. I see it. It's going to work. It's going to work. And this could take a little while. It probably won't be instant that whoever they get becomes the guy. But the fact of the franchise history means nothing. The New Orleans Saints were the biggest joke when it came to quarterbacks for a very long time, you know, mm-hmm. the Billy Joe Hobarts and Billy Joe Tollivers and Jim Everetts and all that. And then suddenly Drew Brees arrives and everything is different. And you're also weighting the odds for everything to be different by having Jefferson and everything that you have here. So, and an indoor stadium as well, which probably helps the quarterback a little bit. So everything is aligned. It is a incredible moment for this team to have set up to have this situation. So what is the last thing you'd like to say? Final thoughts before we head into this thing?
I mean, I think you hit on where if the quarterback has it, it changes the tenor of everything, right? Like suddenly all that weight feels a lot less heavy because you have someone you have faith in, right? And that's why we're fans to begin with, is because against all logic and against all evidence, we believe, right? And it's almost like it feels like a duty and a tiresome duty at times, particularly when they suck. But I still think that there is joy in that belief and joy in the hope. And the thing that I am most optimistic about is Kevin O'Connell, because you just talked about Josh Allen being the guy. And that's true, but they don't have the head coach to go with it, right? So you need the head coach and you need the quarterback, and it needs to be like airtight between them. That's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. That's Belichick and Brady. Even when they didn't like each other, they still worked as one. That's Kevin O'Connell and whoever he drafts. Like, I believe that 100%. So with that in mind, I think I should say to my other fans, just don't be a downer. Like, don't stop. We have enough of that. Like, put a smile on your face, get hyped, get cocky, like be a cocky Vikings fan, like see what it does for you. Cause I feel very, very frisky right now and I like it. And I'm excited to be even friskier after Thursday night when Drake May becomes the starting quarterback of the Vikings. Well, by the way, I think it'll be good fast.
Okay. I think probably year two is where we're looking at it.
No, next year. Next year. He'll be good next year.
I would ask for some patience because it has taken time for a lot of very good quarterbacks to become who they become. So yes, you and I are looking at that a little bit differently, but there will be time for cynicism when they lose two or three games in a row or something with their young quarterback who's finding his way. But I just think that the evidence is so clear historically that we don't know what's going to happen on draft night. So I am willing to say the process made sense from start to finish here. And now we wait to see how it goes.
Are you saying you trust the process?
No. I'm saying that I believe that they handled the process of this correctly by
look at the Shamsie is out of here. That was
right. I don't trust anybody in sports. But you know, yes, I think they've handled this really well. And as long as they come away with a quarterback, then Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and the front office and Kevin O'Connell together will have collaborated their way all the way to something that gives them a real chance to compete. And that's my thing, Drew, is that I have felt, and you and I have talked about this off air. I've felt frustrated by a team that didn't feel like it really wanted to win, that it wanted to just be okay. And sometimes it felt like I'm wasting my time here covering a team that isn't really trying to get over the top. And now they are. And yeah. That's a good feeling. So,
well, the other thing is, like, you know, I can fret about the Bears getting Caleb and maybe like a Dunze, like, oh my God, that's lethal. And like Love being good now and the Lions having their act together. But that's going to make for some incredible football, like for like a decade. Like, we're going to have some titanic matchups against the Bears. Like, we're going to have entertaining games against the Bears. That never happens. So I'm excited for all of it. I could not be more jazzed. I am feeling as good as I've ever felt as a Vikings fan, or at least as good as I've felt since the miracle. So,
well, defector Drew McGarry. You are a good friend and always entertaining to have on the show. And I just want it for the record. I did not request fewer F-bombs. It was not a request. It did stand out to the audience last time.
It was for all the Vikamaniacs out there. I didn't want to swear too much, but we're fucking doing it. Woo!